Welcome back to Money Life, where we have an unusual structure today with a couple of big interviews. My big interview right now is with Clark Kendall. He is the president and chief executive officer at Kendall Capital Management. They're online at kendallcapital.com. They're on Twitter at Kendall Capital. By the way, back in 2019, Clark was on my show discussing his book, Middle Class Millionaire. So you can learn more about the book as well if you go check out kendallcapital.com. Clark Kendall, great to have you back on Money Life.
Chuck, it's an honor to be back on your show. Thank you for having me again.
I wanted to have you on because, well, I know you've been talking about basically what you think are the investment opportunities that are coming out of the current political climate and the Biden plan. And so I spent a lot of time talking with, you know, chief market strategist types as they're doing big picture stuff and trying to decide how to allocate. But you're a guy who works with, well, as you pointed out, middle-class millionaires, or folks who are middle-class hoping to be millionaires, folks who are middle-class who've gotten to where they're millionaires, et cetera. And it's a different way of looking at things. Where you're a big, broad investment strategist, well, that's great, but you're not flying where the rubber meets the road. Where you are, the rubber is meeting the road. So I'm curious, I mean, as you look at what we're seeing in terms of the Biden presidency, while the focus has all been pandemic, the infrastructure bill and all the rest of it is where maybe the long-term investment stuff is. So what are you telling your clients, and how do you feel about the opportunities that are ahead of us?
Well, I think you got to look at the big picture first, and then how do we apply it to that middle-class millionaire? You know, right now, United States, every man, woman, and child, there's about $80,000 of national debt. Depending upon the estimates, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 of debt has occurred over the last 12 months, and Biden's, you know, projecting to spend additional money. So we, you know, when we have this large national debt, if you look at the history books and what other countries have done, the way they've done it is taking care of national debt is by devaluing their currency, creating inflation. So what do you do with that middle-class millionaire? I think the person who's 60, 65, 70, who wants to retire, who has a pension, whether it's an index for inflation, what do you do with them? And in today's market, what we do is we basically strategize and say, for the next 3 years, if you want to take out $100,000 a year, let's put $100,000 in safe, secure, we use TIPS, treasuries, CDs, to make sure we can live through another market pandemic. But for the monies that we need, you know, 3 years to 10 years, you know, I think a good segment of the market, quite frankly, is, you know, many of the good dividend-paying stocks available, the AT&Ts, the IBMs, the Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, because a big concern when we have a large national debt is we will have inflation, and will we be able to buy toilet paper? Will we be able to buy toothpaste to brush our teeth? Will we be able to afford our cell phone bill? And I think the best way strategically on a historical basis is to buy the companies, the Procter & Gambles, the Colgates, the Verizons of the world, even the Apple, you know, the companies where we're spending the money. So that's how we're strategizing for our clients as far as hedging them against that long-term potential inflation in the marketplace.
You are already factoring in inflation. That's a key thing, because a lot of people are saying, I'm worried about inflation, I'm thinking about inflation, but I'm not necessarily willing to go to TIPS and things like that because, well, TIPS sound great. Hey, you're getting a treasury inflation protected security, but you're not getting a lot of yield on that kind of stuff. Yeah, you're beating inflation, but inflation right now is still pretty negligible. How do you explain to somebody that, like, yep, we want inflation insurance right now?
Quite frankly, the CPI just came out recently. It was 2.2%. Jerome Powell has said he's going to let it drift as high as 3% before he takes any action. On the opposite side of the coin, the 10-year Treasury is yielding 1.6, 1.7%. So you're actually losing a half a percent by buying a 10-year Treasury before paying taxes. So I would say that fixed income, even that TIP, you know, is not long-term a good hedge against inflation. If somebody has $1 million or $2 million, it will buy you X amount of goods and services. We want to maintain that purchasing power. intellectually also for the 65, 70-year-old, we have a bifurcated CPI index. If you want to go out to dinner, if you want to buy groceries, if you want someone to come cut your grass or do yard work, it's healthcare expenses have all gone up dramatically higher than the CPI index. If you're 30 years old, quite frankly, the technology you can buy is much cheaper. You could even intellectually argue that because mortgage rates have come down, you can buy more house than you could, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. So I think we do have a bifurcated CPI index right now. And for retirees, maintaining that purchasing power is the ultimate goal if you want to put the keys on the table and retire. And quite frankly, do you have enough money at $1 million, $2 million, or $3 million to retire?
It's funny because when I was the business editor at the Morning Call in Allentown, Pennsylvania, we had a guy who kept the local CPI. He basically did the CPI methodology for the region. And he and I worked on something that allowed you to do a personalized CPI measure. What people don't understand about inflation measures is that like 31%, I want to say, it could have changed, but like 31% of CPI is tied up in housing costs, is shelter costs. So that's, you know, rents, insurances, all the things that are involved in shelter. That's great if you're young and you've got a young family and you just bought a house. But if you own your own home, you're not spending 31%. If you've paid off your mortgage and whatever, you're not spending 31% on your shelter costs. You're spending much more on healthcare costs, which were a much lower percentage for those folks who were younger, et cetera. So this allowed you to look at your own spending and put it in. And I always wondered why there has not been much more pickup on something like that. It's not hard to do, and it's not an exceptionally accurate measure, but it would show you that, like, hey, if you're older and you've got a lot more in healthcare, you need to protect it more. Speaking of protection, do these times, given what your worries are with inflation, do they push you to say, okay, once you've made it, do you want to use not just the dividend paying stocks, which are the things that people are thinking about, but maybe the things that, quite honestly, they have to be sold? Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, yeah, I really want an annuity. Let me go buy that today with my quart of milk and my dozen eggs. But are you finding that there's more call for some of those products right now because, again, they provide peace of mind?
Yeah, I guess I come back to, well, define for me, what is peace of mind? And I hate to say it, I've been in the business for a while, but, you know, back in the early 90s, you know, we had retirees come and they had $3,000 a month of pension income, and they were dumb, fat, and happy, living quite well. You know, I live in the Washington, D.C. area, serve the D.C. market. You know, $3,000 a month, you're in the poverty level now, just, you know, 25 years later. So it is strategic as far as defining, you know, do you want to buy an annuity, you know, for 30 years at, you know, at $3,000 a month? So it's a definition of risk. And for some people, risk means, you know, daily fluctuations, you know, the $1 million turns into 990 tomorrow, you know, $1,000,001 a year from now. But my point is that $1 million can buy you X amount of home health care, it can buy you X amount of services, it can buy you a new TV. So I think that's the risk by just buying an annuity or just rolling, you know, 30 years in the 90-day treasury bill. If you ask me, there's more risk rolling a 90-day treasury bill for 30 risks than buying a basket of a well-diversified portfolio.
You know, we've been talking about the Biden plan and what have you. For you, what has you excited? What has you thinking opportunistically about, say, the infrastructure plan? And what has you thinking defensively or protectively about the infrastructure plan?
Well, I think the infrastructure plan, hopefully we build out the roads and the infrastructure. I think things like Caterpillar, you know, Magna, United Rental, Generac Holdings, all companies that are part of that infrastructure play, and they are not terribly overvalued. I worry about kind of the COVID success stocks, the Teslas of the world, the Facebooks, the Amazons, trading at huge premiums, you know, to stay away from those. But I think the infrastructure plays, I think there's great opportunities. As I always say, the Nifty 50, the top 50 stocks of the S&P are overpriced. There's great opportunity the other 450 stocks of the S&P, and this is where we can add value to maintain clients' purchasing power so that they can live comfortably for the next 20, 25 years.
Clark, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining me to talk about it. Look forward to chatting with you again down the line sometime.
Great. Thanks for having me on your show, Chuck. It was an honor.
That is Clark Kendall. He is president and chief executive officer at Kendall Capital. Kendall Capital Management, kendallcapital.com, the website at Kendall Capital is their Twitter feed. All right, up next, it's our book interview today. We'll be talking with James Otteson about the 7 deadly economic sins. That's coming up when we come back right after this message.